Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demelb with you at The Positive Mind, here in WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. None of my assistants, normal assistants, available today. I am so fortunate to have in the studio with me Thelma Wingate. Thelma, welcome to WBAI.
Hi, Armand. Thank you.
Thelma's sitting in here because I don't like to sit in the studio alone. And Thelma may have a coughing fit because she's got an allergy or something. And if that happens, she said, I can't sit in there because I may cough. And I say, you could certainly sit in here. Coughing is allowed. Hey, we have a program for you today. I have been duped. Yes, it's so wonderful to keep learning how easily it is to dupe me. I am such a pushover. You know, do you ever feel like a pushover? You ever feel like you're an emotional pushover? Well, I'm not too much of an emotional pushover. But wherever you have anybody who is very connected to their emotions, it is easy to manipulate them. Because their emotions can be triggered. And among a funny thing about teenagers as they grow up. As teenagers grow up, they are inhibited all the time by their parents about whether they are allowed to get the parents upset. Don't get me upset. So there seems to be a rule among teenagers to make sure you never do anything that gets your parent upset. So, for example, if a child is sitting drawing on a wall with a crayon, the mother walks in and says, look, you've given me a headache. Well, the kid could be 1 year old or 2 years old. And he looks at the wall and he says, I gave mommy a headache by drawing on the wall with this crayon. And he doesn't want to do that, so he tries to erase it. And mommy comes out of the bedroom and says, look, you've only made it worse. And then he says, look, I have this power to give mommy headaches. But once I use it, I can't get rid of it. I have to be careful. I have to repress this power. So there are many people who have things of their own creativity tied to the discomfort of their parents because people really believe they can cause other people to have major emotional reactions. He made me hurt. He made me feel bad. He betrayed me. He destroyed me. We believe that as kids. So as we grow up, we are inhibited from doing things that we feel naturally. For example, you're a child. You're the only child. It's wonderful. Your parents love you. They show you off. They think you're great. You're the cat's meow. Then there's another kid born. And now you're nothing. You've got to be the caretaker. Take care of your brother. Take care of your sister. Well, what happened? I was the prince. I was great. What happened? No, now you got to take, and don't do anything to hurt her. But you feel so angry at this little kid. You want to throw the kid out the window, you know? You were the top dog. But no, it's converted. The nicer you are to your baby sister, the more we will love you. So now I have to be nice to get love. Think about what happens to a poor child's mind as they are told gone from special status to non-special status, and what happens every time a new kid is born. I knew one woman. Oh, it was amazing. She was so angry at her little sister because her little sister was born and became daddy's favorite immediately. So she not only lost her status in the family, she lost daddy. Now, that's not an easy loss for a young woman, for an adolescent girl. You know what she used to do? She used to pee on her sister's dolls. She would just take them to the bedroom and pee on them and then put them back and nobody would know. And they always smelled a little bad and nobody understood why. And the kid never felt close to her own dolls. That's the kind of thing that goes underground. Now we look at that, and I got a question from somebody the other day asking, what about adolescence? Can you tell me about adolescence? Well, adolescence is the time when this bubble is going to burst. This pimple is going to go wide open. because all of that repression you've been given all those years at home as a child, you get a chance. Oh, now I'm not so repressed. So you have things like competition. I'll beat you. I'll let my anger out. But what also comes along with adolescence is psychopathy. Yes, psychopathy. That thing, somebody once said, if you want to understand a psychopath, study a teenager. Because the teenager has no guilt holding them back. They don't want to have shame holding them back. They want to do things beyond shame. They want to do things so shameless that they celebrate each other. They can actually do things that would make your skin crawl. The idea being that they're going to be beyond shame. That in order for them to grow, they have to get past those childhood inhibitions that were put on them, so that they can get past the crippling part of that. But the way they do it is they very often exaggerate it. They very often become sadistic. They very often become real mean. And why do they do that? Because it's kind of like they're breaking out of their shell. They're breaking away from their parents, the protectionism of their parents. This leads us to how I have been duped. There is a thing that is on the internet called trolling. T-R-O-L-L-I-N-G, which I didn't know anything about. How am I supposed to know about trolling? Trolling, the thing, that word that usually means, you know, when you're trying to find a fish and you're in a boat and you just run the boat, the lure behind you, you're trolling, and maybe some fish will come after you and bite your hook and you can pull it in. That's called trolling. But trolling in the internet is used to describe someone who posts off-topic messages in an online community, like a forum, like a chat room, like a Facebook page, to get a big emotional response, because they know you can trigger a response. So I had a website, right? I have the website, thepositivemind.com, where people were using it to learn about each other. And these guys were trolling me. And the way they were trolling me was they were talking about sandwiches. They would talk about, I think I had a pastrami sandwich today. I'm going to put mustard on it. You're going to put mustard on your sandwich? You're going to put... And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, but this is a place where people want to feel safe so they can talk about their emotions. And then they just keep laying it on me. And they're trolling me. To the point where I actually send in an angry note and I say, guys, you have to stop this because this is a serious thing. And the troll was successful. And now I laugh at myself because I've been trolled. How does this get? You don't understand this, right? Okay, so we're going to go further. You're going to hear more of it. Some of it is bizarre. Some of it is so painful. Pranks. Prank calls are really kind of the real far-out example of it, when somebody plays a prank on somebody to get somebody upset, but you have to do it with somebody who would be emotional. I'm going to play something for you now. Mind you, there are three ways. You're going to hear this three different ways. This is an excellent prank, a prank that was done using Jack Nicholson's voice from A Few Good Men on a phone call to an anonymous caller. It's kind of funny in a way. It's kind of sad in a way. And mind you, if the call were made to me, I would have hung up right away. But some people, because they're needy, they stay on the phones. But here, listen in. I don't know if you've heard this. I doubt if you have.
Hello.
What's your name?
Sally. Who's this?
Colonel Nathan R. Jessup, Commanding Officer, Marine Ground Forces, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Okay. How can I help you?
You ever served in an infantry unit?
I'm not sure I understand what you're talking about.
Ever served in a forward area?
I don't know who this is.
Colonel Nathan R. Jessup, Commanding Officer, Marine Ground Forces, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Are we clear?
Yeah, we're clear.
Are we clear?
Yes, we are clear. I understand who you are, but
That's
I do not
right.
know you. Who are you?
You want answers?
Yeah, you call me, and I have no idea what you want.
You can't handle the truth!
Who is this?
Colonel Nathan R. Jessup, commanding officer of the ground forces, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
I'm not even gonna... I don't want to talk anymore about this.
You have that luxury.
I have that luxury?
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
Are we clear?
We're clear.
Are we clear?
I thought we were clear.
That's right. I'm a fair guy, but this heat is making me absolutely crazy.
I can't do it.
it's... But you see, on the other side of that is the trolley. There's a person on the other side who, even though they seem like they're victimized... They've been picked because they would stay on the phone. And the success is keeping them on the phone and involved. And in trolling, okay, so there's one thing which is about trolling. Trolling is, I will put out something, I will say something, and I'll just say something benign to you. I remember watching something on a Jon Stewart show where one of his reporters is talking to somebody, and this somebody stands for animal rights, and he innocently asks the questions such as, you know, but do you think animals really have feelings? But he knows he's going to trigger this response. And the person he's interviewing gets all bent out of shape, and he innocently asks, you think they have, that they also have happy feelings? You know, and he's asking questions that are just meant to incite the other person. Now, what is this about, and why do I find an interest in this? Because if you're an emotional person, you may be somebody who people enjoy inciting. Come on, baby, light your fire. You see, if you're emotional, very often people who are not emotional get connected to people who are emotional. Why? Because your emotionality keeps me alive, because I feel dead, because I don't have any flame to me. So I will incite you without even knowing I'm inciting you. I want to create in you a reaction. So I know men who talk about women, and they talk about women's emotionality a lot. Men don't talk about women as much as men as you think they do. Women talk about men a lot. Men don't talk about women that much, but the one thing they will refer to is the emotionality and the available emotions of a woman. And one of the things they say is a point, as you listen to this, you hear that women are just bananas, you know, especially around their period of menopause. Forget it. Yeah, well, they're all crazy. That's what men kind of lead themselves to. But you know, it's a funny thing about men. They're like adolescents. They want to prove this to be true, and they do it by trolling their wives. You see, you go along and you get the woman to be reactive. And as she's getting reactive, as I studied this closely with a few men, they talked about the kind of inner joy they felt as they watched their mate losing it. And you watch her losing it, and you watch her losing it, and you incite it a little bit, and you make believe you're innocent, and you don't get angry back. You just want to get them. In fact, you wonder if you could get them to the point of violence. And there are men, a lot of men, seem to love to incite this fire, this flame, that he wants his wife or woman to use the violence that he really feels, but he's afraid to let go of. So he incites it in the other person. This is trolling. Women do this to men also. If the man is a passionate or an over-emotional man, very often women will, through their logic, get the man to be violent. Now, unfortunately, when a woman gets a man to be violent, he usually takes that violence out on her, and she winds up being bashed. But in many cases, and I hope nobody's going to turn at me as saying I'm giving men right to hit women. No. But in many cases, whatever that's gotten to physical violence, where somebody's gotten hurt, it's very rare that a person couldn't run out of the room and get away from it. If you are pressing your nose up against a man who's sounding violent, And then he's threatening you. Get the hell out of there. Back off. He's losing his mind. Don't stand there just because you're going to be courageous and let him hit you in the head. Get out of there. And then if you don't get out of there, make sure you get out of there next week. Don't keep going back to it. But there's a reason that we do. Because somehow we engage the other person in the expression of the violence that we also feel. It's letting it go one way or another. I have a partner in crime, even if you're going to beat on my body. So let's go back to the internet, trolling. So there is an art to this trolling, and people really have studied this as an art. And there are websites which show these incredible trolls. Now, the contemporary use of the term appeared in the internet in the late 1980s because people would be trolling to kind of get, they wanted to deface internet tribute sites with the aim of kind of bringing grief into it. So they would do things that would be, if you had a tribute site or if you had a something honoring something, they would try to get in there to do something to dishonor it. Now, there's another thing called flaming. You should understand trolling and flaming. Flaming is hostile and insulting interactions where you actually start using profanity. You start in, you go in aggressively. Deliberate flaming is something where you get out there and you actually come out with threats. And you threaten to hurt a person, and you yell at them, and they yell back at you. That's called flaming, which is different than trolling. In trolling, you're eliciting the reaction. In flaming, you're actually going in there with all your guns blazing. Flame trolling is the posting of provocative or offensive message known as flame bait. So a couple of teenagers get together, and they say, let's throw some flame bait on there. And they'll throw up something to a public interest discussion group, such as a forum, with the intent of provoking angry responses, getting a flame, or an argument over a topic, and then having the topic go back and forth. There are flame wars, where people just use violence back and forth against each other, but none of this is real. It's all for the exercise. So here I was at one point on my website thinking I'm involved in a real discussion about something. And there's somebody on the other side. Look, we got Armand DeMille. I mean, I think they should have put up a little plaque, you know. Who do we get so far? Let's get Armand. Let's get Gary. Let's get, who can we get? You know, who do we nail into this? How many times have you been seduced? Have you been trolled into having a huge emotional reaction when you didn't even know where it was coming from? Who has the skill to do that to you? Or do you have the skill to do that to someone else? Now think about salesmen. A salesman wants to sell you something, right? He's trolling. He's kind of looking around. He's got to do, who's going to sell this to? Who's going to sell it to? He's got to get on your good side. He gives you something that makes you take an emotional reaction. He wants you to love it. He wants you to feel passion towards it. I wonder where prostitution would be without trolling. I guess that's the ultimate form of trolling, huh? I want you to desire me. But the part of it that I find the most interesting is using it to get people angry. Trolls aspire to violence, to the level of trouble that they could cause in an environment. They want to kick off. They want to promote antipathetic emotions of disgust and outrage, which morbidly gives them a sense of pleasure. They want to hear it. They want to hear you outrage them. The troll attempts to pass on a legitimate participant, sharing the group's common concerns. Once you see this reaction, once you're watching it on the internet and then you hear somebody is outraged, you know there's somebody off on the side who pulled off the trick. It's hard to believe this, isn't it? I'm looking at Thelma looking at me and saying, what is this world come to? Well, you see, It's an informational world, and one would say this is bad. Well, I'm not sure it's bad, because this is like the balance of things. If you're going to put yourself out there on Facebook and have yourself naked and talk about where you're going to have lunch and what food you're eating, something is going to eventually work to hone down the information so that the internet is not such a broad spectrum thing, but it's more specific. So eventually you won't put as much information on there. Maybe you won't put your social security number on. Maybe you won't put your birthday on there. Maybe you won't give them all the information about you, as we did at the beginning with Facebook. See, at the beginning, give everybody everything, tell them everything about you, tell them where you're having lunch. But now the trollers catch that, and they say, let's refine this. Let's not make this, in a way, let's not let this person open themselves up and make themselves so vulnerable. Let's attack them in their vulnerability so that they will become more guarded, so that they will grow in a more kind of mature way than just laying themselves out there. So what I'm saying is, it's a terrible thing, trolling. I have seen it do damage. I've seen people commit suicide over trolling. I haven't seen it, but I've read about it. You've read cases about where the teenage girl wound up committing suicide because she was so depressed because what got started in saying about her. And you've heard this about teenagers killing themselves over having been trolled. Now, there's two other things that I'd like to bring to your attention that I do want to take your phone calls about this. You could either call about trolling itself, or you could call and you could talk to me about just being triggered emotionally and enjoying the sadistic pleasure of triggering somebody else emotionally if you do. If you're aware that you're a guy who likes to do that or a person who likes to do that, who likes to get an emotion out of people, I appreciate your call. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're not taking the call yet, but we will very shortly. So a concerned troll, that's one of the types, is a false flag pseudonym created by a user who has a point of view. And the point of view is kind of you show this deep concern for somebody. And in this deep concern, through that concern, you elicit some kind of negative reaction from the other person. There's also a thing called a counter troll. Now, this is a very interesting thing. This is how far it goes. In a counter troll, you troll me, and I have an emotional reaction to make you think that you've trolled successfully. So you could be celebrating how successfully you've trolled me, but I am in complete control because I've only put out fake emotion so that I have, in effect, controlled you. That's called a counter troll. And in the community of people with the internet and young people, this is common. They write to each other about it. Look at what's happening in the world when you weren't looking. Look at what's happening. It's amazing, isn't it? 212-209-2900 is our number. The art of deliberately, cleverly, and secretly getting people angry, using the internet, using dialogue. See, trolling doesn't mean just making rude remarks, shouting swear words at someone. Doesn't count as trolling. That's flaming. That's different. And it isn't funny. Spam isn't trolling either. It's lame. The most essential part of trolling is convincing your victim that either you believe in what you're saying, no matter how outrageous it is, you give your victim malicious instruction under the guise of help. You tell them what to do. Well, you know, if your husband is cheating on you, maybe what you should do is follow him at night to see where he goes. And wherever he goes, or copy his key, or look at his email. Signs that trolling is successful is your victim is screaming in all caps at you. right? When they're on the internet and they're putting it in all caps with exclamation points. Personal attacks where they call you names like you're an idiot, you're stupid, and I hate you. That makes you successful. Making a crude remark before logging off. Signs that your trolling is unsuccessful is your victim identifies you as a troll. Oh, you're trying to get me. You see, now I have had this happen again in personal relationships. How many times does somebody come over to you, and it could be somebody you love, and they say to you, I want to talk to you. And you're, uh-oh, I wonder what this is about. I'd like to have this discussion. Uh-oh, I'm not so sure I want to have this discussion. And then you spot that they're just there to make trouble. I want to talk about our bank account. Oh, boy, this is not going to be a good conversation. I could understand it. Let me see if I could just get through this without creating any trouble or having an emotional reaction. So that once you identify yourself as having been trolled and you survive a trolling without having a deep emotional reaction, that makes the trolling unsuccessful and you a successful counter-troller. Okay? And this is also important in life. Without knowing it, it's also important to be able to identify yourself as a troll. Many of you are going to call us back in a few minutes and tell us how much you now know you've trolled other people. Another unsuccessful one is when the other person ignores you. So what if at the beginning of that phone call, she said, just hung up. Who is this? Nathan just hang up because you don't need it. Now, on the side of trolling and the victims of trolling, I'd like to say that there's an important thing to understand, that wherever there is a troll that is successful, there is somebody who needs it to happen. They are waiting to have a place to have their emotions come out. So wherever there is, it seems like a victim, it's somebody who is sitting there with a powder keg ready to explode. So they're kind of serving each other. When you and someone you love have a big fight that seemed like it started over something innocent, you can't have a big fight unless both people want it to happen. You can only have a one-sided fight, and that doesn't work. So when you have a big-sided fight, that means that something is happening that both people needed for some reason, whether it's for relief or something like that. Maybe the tensions are so big so you fight with each other. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We are bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you raise a more positively minded life. And I'm going to bring you some music, and then when we bring you music, when we come back, we're going to come back with your telephone calls at 212-209-2900. Here's something pretty for you, my friends. Here's a little bit of Rodrigo doing Spain. I'll be right back. Okay, that makes sense so far. Thank you. Rodrigo did not mean it that way originally. Rodrigo meant it a different way. That was the Gypsy King's impersonation. Interpretation of that. But I think it went like this originally. Let me see. That's the way it went. Quite amazing, right? I should have been a disc jockey. 212-209-2900. You know, I discovered something else that I thought was interesting. This came from, believe it or not, talk about pain. Do we ever really want pain? I'm going to believe you. I'm going to play you a 1 minute. It's just 1 minute long. A cadence. You know what a cadence is? A cadence is in the Army or Navy when you're marching and you yell something out. 1, 2, 3, 4, hachi, booty, iti, poor, right? And you do that and it keeps you marching. I'm going to play you a cadence. The word is pain. P-A-I-N, and it's from the U.S. Navy. Listen to this.
Hey, feeling good.
Feeling good.
Feeling fine.
Feeling fine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Got it mine.
Got it mine.
Pain.
Pain.
Hey, in my back.
In my back.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I put it there.
I put it there.
Pain.
Pain.
In my neck.
In my neck.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I put it there.
I put it there.
Put it there. Pain.
Pain.
In my legs.
In my legs.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I put it there.
I put it there.
I like it there.
I like it there.
I love it there.
I love it there.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Be one.
Be one.
Come on now.
Come on now.
Be one.
Be one.
Come on now.
Come on now.
Scream and shout.
Scream and shout.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Pain, yeah, I put it there. It's in my neck. See, now, if you think about that, think about your marriage. What a pain in the neck. Did you put it there? Oh, boy, you're not like the Navy guys. They would say, yes, they did. I put it there. Pain in my back, I put it there. Right? Pain in my head, I put it there. We're here to figure out what we put there and why we put it there. 212-209-2900. Armando, we should play that in our waiting room, don't you think? Pain. I put it there. It's just. I don't know.
Feeling good.
Feeling good.
Feeling fine.
Feeling fine.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Got it mine.
Got it mine.
Pain.
Pain.
Hey, in my back.
In my back.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I put it there.
I put.
That's just great. Ask me where I get this stuff from. 212-209-2900. Ian, helping us with the engineering today. Michael G. out. Thank you very much. Could you please give us one of the callers? Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm very much in tune with what you're bringing up, especially the matter of suicide. And I've noticed in the past year or two that more and more young people and otherwise what would be vibrant and hopeful and dedicated and inspired people are taking their lives, and it's worse than pathetic. And to hear that this is, you know, like a little skill set that people are developing on the web is completely nauseating. I've recently found out that someone who was an intermittent guest at my home walked onto the freeway and took her life. And a friend of mine was telling me, well, he thought his last conversation with her was lacking, and he's blaming himself. And, mm-hmm. you know, and this person had problems and had been in a program, and their relationship with another household member had been failing, and they felt squeezed out. And, you know, whatever the reason is, I mean, it looks like this ganging up on people online where you call them a troll, and the operant part of that is control, like lacking self-control and lacking a life of your own, you can insinuate yourself into another person's life and undermine them and erode them.
Okay, but wait, now, while you, what's your name?
My name is Jeannie.
Jeannie, I love the fact that you're an inquiring person. But before we just look at the system and find fault with them, what I want to find is something about the non-fault and how it serves us.
Well, what do you mean about the system? You mean the online community?
Just this system? Whole concept of what is available on the internet and how you could have so much personal information seemingly unfettered.
They think they're, you know.
Okay, but it isn't just, you see, they're not wrong. They're a little like fail-safe switches. They're kind of saying to you, it doesn't work this easy, and you've got to not do it this way. We all take responsibility for what it is. So when there is, for example, if you have a house, and your house is dirty, and you have cockroaches, right? And you have cockroaches, you can't say it's the cockroaches' fault.
Well, it's not their fault. They won. They like it like that.
They like it like that, and we created it like that for them. It's a collaboration. We are a part of it. We're all part of the system. Right now, I am reading about the highest number of suicides among the soldiers coming back from service. The numbers are unfathomable. The number of people who just decided that whatever happened to their brain when they were over in Iraq and in Afghanistan, their brain
that
was...
That cadence is actually working again.
That's exactly right. The cadence is working to reprogram and rechange. And the reprogrammed brain comes back and says, wait a minute, I don't fit here. And it offs itself. Now, if we could step aside from judging suicide as bad, I know it's very hard to do, but if you step out of it and you say, what is suicide? What is it doing? That's where we're probably going to find our answer, instead of finding fault with all the people who were part of it.
Well,
what is this thing doing?
You know, the thing is, there's no coming back from that. It's like the death penalty, okay? It's very final.
Mm-hmm.
So once somebody has taken their life, you know, unless they're Hitler, for example, and that is seems to be a solution, but, you know, once someone has taken his life, then there's no more solution. There's no more figuring it out. So rather than saying it's good or bad, it's sort of, for those of us who are living here, it's the non-solution. It's the running away from a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Or running towards a solution. Or running towards a solution.
Or running towards a solution.
Is that the positive mind?
You think I want people to kill themselves?
Well, no, I'm not saying
no,
that.
No, but do you think that I'm going to say to people that every time and every one of you who have come into my office, who have talked to me about thinking about ending your life because pain was so strong that you didn't know anything what you could do with it, and then finally I showed you, I said to you, look,
Marika?
Here's a safe place.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
What happened to my last
call?
All right,
Grissom. Yeah, may I hear you now?
Am I off? Hello?
I'm not sure what's going on. Our engineer is, I think, putting two people on at the same time.
Okay.
Ian, what do we got?
Hello?
Who's on the phone now? And now we've got three people. This is great. We're being trolled. Listen, what's your name?
This is Austin. Hi,
Armand. Hi, Austin. I think we have somebody else on with us. Are you on with us also? No.
Maybe it's just me.
Austin. Austin Gill.
Hey, Armand.
Austin, how are you? Listen, to the last lady who was talking, we did not cut you off. But we're doing some new engineering here.
By a wonderful Colombian harpist named Edmar Castañeda. He plays a great version of Spain on the harp. It's just wonderful.
Oh, good. Would you send me the thing of it?
Go look it up. YouTube all over the place. Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm going to try to come from a non-judgmental place where I hope we serve the most people with in the best way here. You know, I was on your Facebook page for a while, and I decided to pull out, and I did say to you in an email that, you know, this is not a reflection on you because you don't have a control about what anyone says. And people weren't flaming or trolling, per se, on your Facebook, so I think there's another discussion here between the extremes that ostensibly in positive mind, we'd hope that people would more talk about things having to do with the matter at hand of our inner life and our interaction with the world, and people were then talking about politics. And when I gently suggested that, you know, we can talk about politics almost anywhere else, do we have to bring that in here? And then people were accusing me of trying to censor them. So,
well, you see, but Austin, yeah, for a little period of time, we had this precious vehicle, Facebook, that was precious because it did serve just that purpose. But then, just like it did everywhere else, somebody comes along and says, no, we don't want that level of emotionality on the internet, so we're going to show you how vulnerable it is. So now as I look at it, I say, all right, all right. I think it would have been nice to have it, but, you know, there's a group of people out there. There are a group of people out there who don't want to see that much reality. They don't want to see that much real.
From reality, isn't it? But people use politics as a mask that keeps them...
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Or eating sandwiches. And it's okay. And it's okay. But Austin, please come. Please come back. I miss you. 212-209-2900. Good guy, Austin Gill. Hi there. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille.
Yeah, my name is Ed.
Hello, Ed.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm a very long-time listener, first-time caller.
First time, Ed, after all these years?
10 years, yeah.
10 years you're listening to me?
Oh, yeah. I've been listening to BAI for at least 20 years.
But,
my favorite show of the past was Morning Dew with Lance Neal, but that's not on anymore.
Question,
a comment about the clip you had on Pain.
Yes.
It reminded me, as soon as you started playing it, the movie Full Metal Jacket by Stanley Kubrick.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which was his statement on the military. I would suggest everybody see that movie at some point.
If they want to deal with that level of pain, yeah, that's a painful movie.
That film affected me a lot when I saw it. All Kubrick's movies.
But let me ask you something, Ed, what about... What about you and pain? What's your relationship to pain?
Well, I just had open heart surgery 2 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and I was in much pain 2 or 3 days after it. Even after having Percocet at the hospital, but within like 4 or 5 days, I felt really good. But the pain didn't bother me that much because I knew it was improving my health.
So you see pain as a signal. But what about emotional pain? Do you ever feel it?
Yes, yes.
How do you feel about it? I mean, do you want to get rid of it?
Well, before my open heart surgery, I was very depressed for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And my cardiologist told me that, I don't know how true this is, that I had such a blockage in my heart that my brain was cut off from adequate blood flow. And that's probably why I felt so... disoriented and, lackadaisical.
No, it's highly, highly possible. So I've heard. I read a report that depression leads to a shrinking of the brain, that the physical size of the brain actually gets smaller when a person is depressed.
Well,
so it's kind of...
Ever since my surgery, I had a quadruple bypass.
No, you're good.
I feel 100% better mentally and physically.
Well, great. So I guess maybe that's what we should all do.
Yeah, but I would recommend that film highly.
Full Metal Jacket.
Another film like that was Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, those are all nice light films. Good things to see before you're going to bed. You know, you have incredible dreams with those.
Yeah, they're powerful films.
All right, thanks a lot for calling in, Ed.
Okay, good enough. Take care.
You know, Ed brings up a very important point. One of the biggest... problems that we have nowadays with adults is their addiction to, of all things, painkillers. Oxycodone, right?
Hello.
Hi there, you're on the air.
Am I on the air?
Ah, look who is there.
Look who's there, and
there's nothing you can do about it.
Armand. However, when you're dealing with subjects like suicide and things of that nature, that's That's a very sensitive subject to deal with. I realize that when a lot of people get depressed and whatnot, they want to go off the other end, or maybe they take drugs, or they try to use alcohol or something to soothe the pain. But have they ever thought about the trying to move in a more spiritual direction, maybe through meditation, transcendental meditation, which is mind medicine, by the way, and or seeking counsels like people like yourself who are out there to help people through a lot of hard times? Because, you know, life is through hills and valleys and so on and so forth. And many times we find ourselves in the valleys and we want to be in the mountains. So
there is. Let me say something about that.
Just to try to flip the script.
No. I understand how simple that sounds, you know, because it's like, hey, if they could just eat good and get a little closer to God and then find a therapist, it would work. But there's a thing here. There's a thing here about a person who decides, I've had enough. You see, when they decide, I've had enough, they do not want alternatives. They want the other. You know, Freud had a very... Let me just say something to you about this. Freud had an interesting thing he called Thanatos. It was a theory. He said, there is a love of death, and we're fighting it throughout our lives. A very interesting concept. And I know everybody, now I'm trolling, you see. Now I'm going to get letters like you can't imagine. All I know is that everybody has been afraid to talk about death and afraid to talk about suicide.
Yeah, Barica.
And,
yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I know. Ian, we're hearing everything you're doing on the air. So everybody is this whole idea, I think, deserves a little bigger question without judgment.
Can I just interject something?
Sure,
just
you can.
One second. There's a poem by Max Irwin, Desigrada, and one of the lines of his poems says, there are always those who are lesser and greater than we are, and we're just children of the universe. And if you look at those who don't have the things that we may have and just try and put ourselves in that position, we'll realize how blessed we are just by being here in this country, by the way. There are always those who are going to have more or less than we do. And when you want to make the ultimate sacrifice of taking your own life, I think that you should realize how fortunate you are just to be here, because every day that the Most High gives us, in my humble opinion, is a blessed day. So
you be a preaching to the choir.
I understand.
You understand that you're preaching to all of us who agree with you. There is nobody who is listening. But there is nobody who's listening who would actually hear what you have to say. There is the rest of us who feel the way you do who are listening, because we're all life-oriented. But I thank you very much for calling. I do have to be going.
Okay, my brother.
And you know my words.
Much.
Hey, what about your love? 212-209-2900. Time for another call. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello.
Hello there.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Second time caller.
Second time calling.
I love your show. I love your gracious words of reality.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
There is a lot of people who are lack of, you know, of common sometimes sense.
Uh-huh.
Not to say that, you know, it's not, you know, it's okay to be confused out here in life. But at the same point, you have to take life by the horns and embrace it. And be who you are as an individual. I have a lot of friends who are going through a lot of difficulties. I'm going through difficulties. But you have to navigate your mental state in order to understand how you can just move in and go through this world.
Let me ask you something. What's your name?
Individual you
what's your name?
You know,
What's your name?
Rob.
Rob, before you go any further, I want to show you something you're doing.
Okay.
One of the things you're doing is you're a man, Rob, who's a very heartfelt man. And you're living with a lot of pain. one side of your brain is living with the pain, and the other side of your brain is giving it lessons. So when you say things like, what you got to do is pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and you got to go ahead with life, and you got to. When you do that, you set up an internal battle. What I want Rob to really say to Rob is, man, this is tough stuff. And I want you to know we're going to make it. You and I are going to make it together because we are going to get through this life. We've gotten through to this point. And no matter how bad things are, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I am going to tell you this. You're never again going to be alone. Now, if you could say that to yourself, you would find it a lot better than telling yourself what you got to do. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Good, good, good. You're a good man that you can hear that.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
That's some great advice.
Rob, thanks so much for calling in.
Take
212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, take another call. Hi there, you're on the air. Yes.
Hello, am I on the air?
Yes, you are on the air.
Okay, and I think that people really don't deal with the reality and the facts and dealing with... You know, people who take drugs because they don't really want to deal with the reality of what's going on and be able to go through it. I don't believe in taking drugs. The body heals itself. And it's not, committing suicide is a way out. It's kind of a cowardly way out where it's just so painful they can't figure out how to deal with the problem. And I think your radio station does not deal with facts and does not really want to know the truth or what's going on in the world. And when someone comes along and gives them factual things, you still distort the truth. You want to hear just your side. And your side is constantly, distorted and untrue. There are a lot of things you take,
It must be so difficult for you to be listening. No, I'm saying for you to listen to radio stations which are always distorting the truth.
Yes.
Do you have any radio stations?
Yes, and calling it a fact or a truth.
Yeah.
Very painful to see just anything like on TV.
It must be so difficult to be listening to everything, TV and radio, and it's all distortion.
Of course it's very difficult to listen to everything. Absolutely correct.
How do you ever feel safe in this world?
Do I feel safe in this world?
How do you ever feel safe in this world?
Never.
Never.
Why?
I understand.
Not
I feel sorry.
Safe. You shouldn't trust nobody.
Yeah, I hear.
You shouldn't trust anyone. Why should you trust anyone? People, you should care about them. You should respect them.
But don't trust anybody.
Trust people to the point where they're going to... People disappoint you. People are kind of, monstrous.
Yeah. What's your name?
Too much energy on trusting anyone, you're going to constantly be disappointed that person when they don't do the way you want them to do, when you want to feel so you can trust, then you can say, oh, you see? But if you don't trust anyone and you just accept them for who they are and enjoy the person and know where you stand, your relationship with it, that's fine. The spirituality and the stuff, this Mishigas and stuff of spirituality, deal with reality. See with the reality. Reality does suck.
And don't trust. Listen, we have to be going. I appreciate what you have to say. Listen. Listen, we have to be going. Thank you very much. We'll take your message. There are some people who feel that's the only way to get through life. Don't trust. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m.
America. Alright, so in a few, it'll be you. 157 coming up. and I've been hearing you all along, so I think we have a good connection here. Okay, great.